Thank you for connecting to the media product of Pastor Brian Gallardo. We pray as it goes out into the nations that it empowers your faith, stirs your spirit, and pushes you towards your God-given destiny. For more information about Pastor Brian Gallardo, please log on to www.briangallardo.com.
1 Kings chapter number 10, verse 1 through 5, and the word of the Lord says this. Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, that's good. That sounds good. Thank you. Heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great caravan with camels that bore spices, very much gold and very precious stones. When she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions, for there was nothing that was too difficult for the king that he could not explain to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, in other words, the spiritual food coming out of the pulpit, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Or in other words, it literally took her breath away. You ever walked into a place and you was like, geez. Anybody in the room? All three of you? Was it Lifegate Church? Good. So literally her breath was taken away. She was taken back. It took the spirit out of her is what your word says. And so I want to take this text and try to do my best to preach what I believe God has given me for you today, about becoming the kind of church like Solomon that when people come into these doors, it literally takes their breath away. Amen? And so this is our third installment of It's All in the House. If you're wanting to become a member at Lifegate Church and you would like to be welcomed in as a member, we've got like a full sheet back there and another part of another sheet, which is amazing. There's more people signed up on that sheet, Elder, than we had in like our first year of service. And So go ahead and do that after church, but I want to preach this message to you today, and Janae, I don't know where your microphone is, but I want you to grab this microphone and pray over the message today. I think it's this one that says Janae. Imagine that. She's going to pray over her pastor and over you guys as we get ready to get into the Word.
Father, we love you today, God. We worship you in adoration, God, towards your name, Jesus. We love you. We honor you today, God. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the great I am. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So today, God, we say, God, have your way in this place. Touch every heart. Change every life today, God. Transformation come here at Lifegate Church in the name of Jesus. Speak through our pastor. Anoint him today, God, to deliver the message with clarity, God. Father, we love you. We tune our ears towards your spirit this morning. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
So y'all know how we do it. Go find at least three people, love on them, and tell them everything you have need of is right here in the house. For he is Lord. He is Lord. Come on, sing with me. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Aren't you thankful today that he is Lord of all? Aren't you glad today? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful. Trump is not Lord. Hillary is not Lord. I'm thankful that Korea is not Lord. I'm thankful today that he is Lord. Come on, somebody. If you're thankful, I dare you just for 2 seconds. Slip up your hands. Put your hands together. Love on Jesus in this room and tell him that he is Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. You can be seated. So glad to have everyone here today. Well, this is our first week of three services. Y'all, stretch your hands this way. Everybody, stretch your hands this way. Say, Jesus, help that man to preach. Amen. Thank you guys so much. So here's this woman by the name of which we coined her Sheba. She's not really her. That's not her name. But her name, we don't know because the Bible just calls her the Queen of Sheba. She was very, I believe, wealthy, and she was a political person who led a region of the land called Sheba. That was her hometown, where her and her family had some type of dynasty and rulership because she was the queen there. She comes to Solomon with a bunch of hard questions, carrying a caravan full of gold, spices, jewelry, meat, all kinds of good things, and comes to Solomon to see the temple that he built. As I was reading this one day, back when the Lord called us to plant this church, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, I want you to go to Kansas City, and I want you to build a church, and I want you to build a church that's not just going to attract poor people, because Jesus said the poor you'll have with you always. Now, when he told me that, Rob, I was extremely poor. I said, Lord, I said, you want me to go build a church that's not just attracting poor people? You're attracting me because I'm poor at the moment, but I know that that is going to change eventually. But we want to attract a church that's not just attracting one type of person. The kind of church we're trying to build is the hardest kind of church to build. We're not trying to attract just white people, dear Lord. That's not our story. We're not trying to be a white church, a black church, a brown church. We ain't trying to be a wealthy church, a poor church, a broke church. We ain't trying to attract the left, the right, the Democrat, Republican. Guys, we're trying to attract everybody. We are called to humanity. We are called to reach people, regardless of where people are, regardless of what they're into. We are trying to reach a whole spectrum of people. Look at your neighbor and say, aren't you glad they reached you? Uh-huh. So God then, he's calling us to be the kind of church or the palace that he built with Solomon, that when people come in this room, they can sing that old 80s song. Take my breath away. All the young people don't know it. Hey, come on, come on, come on, guys. Gen Xers. And take my breath away. So God is calling us to be the kind of church that when the world comes up in here, no matter what side of the tracks they're on, come on, no matter where they're from in life, no matter if they grew up in church, never knew church, no matter if they grew up worshiping Buddha or grew up worshiping nothing, we want to build the kind of church that when they walk through those doors, there's excitement in their eyes. That when we don't walk through those doors, something within them says, I never felt what I feel up in this place in my life. We want to be the kind of people that are literally taking people back by what they experience when they come in these doors. If that's you and you want to be a part of that church, I dare you to say it's all in this house. It's all in this house. So because that's the kind of church God is calling us to be, we got to make sure that our culture stays right. And in order to build our culture, we got to focus on sustaining our core values. Come up here real quick, honey. Where'd my wife go? She is gone. There she is. Everybody give it up for First Lady, Pastor Jillian. Okay. So watch this, honey. I want you to, is that piano unmuted yet? You're awesome, Jeremy. I want you to just turn it up just a little bit so everybody can hear you. Just take one C note, push it down and let it off. But don't sustain it. Just push it down, let it off. So what happens when a church doesn't continually push the culture of the house, doesn't continually push its core values, it just makes a little something, right? It doesn't carry it out throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the time. But God is calling us to have an infrastructure as a church that when we hit on all the cylinders as a church on Sunday, it just keeps ringing out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Push it again. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Push it again until the community can hear the noise, the volume of the people throughout the community, throughout the city, pushing on the culture God has given us to push on. Okay, babe, now what I want you to do is I want you to hit me a whole C chord and push that sustain pedal and let your hands off it. Here it goes. Keep going. Let it out. Just hold it out. Just hold it out. It's sustaining. It keeps sustaining. It keeps going. It keeps going. It keeps going. So we must, as a congregation, as a I don't even like using that word. We must, as a community of LifeGate Church, we must hold it out. We must keep pushing on the core values, keep pushing on the core values, keep pushing on the core values, and eventually it becomes the culture of the church. And when it's the culture of the church, it will begin to affect the climate in a region, affect a city in an area, affect a state from coast to coast, and around the world, it becomes the culture. Okay, let's say this together. Say, our core values sustain long enough, create the culture, and sustain it. Say it one more time. Say, our core values sustain long enough, become the culture of our church. Now, let me show you this illustration. How many of y'all like apples? Right? I love baked apples. And I cannot lie. I love apples. I love to eat apples. I love honey crisp apples. If I'm craving chocolate, I go get an apple and a banana and some grapes and some strawberries. And then by that time, I don't want nothing any more sweet. But I love apples. I think they're so good and they're very nutritious. But unless you're a weirdo like me, you only eat the, how many just eat the outside of the apple? Let me ask you this way. How many of y'all eat the entire apple, including the core? Miss Sheila, I know you was anointed. Praise the Lord. Tom, my brother back here. So most people don't eat the core, right? Because we just, but I do. I eat everything but the stem. Like one time Josh was with me. We were heading down the road. I was eating this apple. And I got all the way down that stem. He goes, did you just eat that whole apple? So leave me alone. But you and I both know, this core got kind of broke, I'm sorry. You and I both know that what makes an apple is what's inside the apple, right? It doesn't really matter what the skin looks like, the meat tastes like. If you got a good core in an apple, you're going to have a good apple. It's not the meat that made the apples. It's the seed buried way down inside the core of the apple. Here's what I feel like the Holy Ghost said to me to tell you. If we are going to be a healthy church where the world picks on us, of people of influence, the only way they're going to pick on us is if we keep the center core of the apple, the center core of the church, its core values sustained and healthy. So we got to focus on our core values on a yearly, on a quarterly basis so we can see the kind of church that God is calling us to build. Because if the core gets bad, the apple gets bad. If the apple gets bad, ain't nobody gonna want to partake of it. If a church core is good, then the church itself will become good. And when the church itself becomes good, the world's gonna want to come to that kind of church. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to get the core right. So everyone in this room, do you know that you operate by a system of core values? Huh? Do you know that your family has core values in it? I've met some families, their family was jaded. Right? They used to go to church here. Just kidding. I don't. Just kidding. Actually, I'm not. But anyway. So I met people, their family core value was to be rude to people. They couldn't be nice to nobody. I mean, they come to church, could you sit here, please? No, I ain't sitting in there. You ain't telling me where to sit. Could you please, you know, put your phone on silent because we're trying to pay attention? No, that's my phone. You didn't pay my bills. Culture of rude. Right? But you can't bring your culture of rude just because that's your core value up into a church where part of our culture is to be kind and friendly to people. Hello, somebody. And act like you're going to change this culture, honey. You're going to have to change your culture when you come to LifeGate Church because God has called us to sustain the core values that are here. So Walmart has a culture. May I help you? Friendly smile. Yellow button. Blue shirt. Khakis. Gates Barbecue has a culture. Oh, I felt the Holy Ghost right there. Anybody feel that? When I just said Gates Barbecue. You can't go into Gates Barbecue and be like, could you please not say so loud to me? May I help you? Do you know every Gates Barbecue restaurant in Kansas City, their culture is that when you walk into Gates Barbecue, you're going to hear, "Hey, may I help you?" You can go to Gates downtown. You can go to Gates out here in Independence where the good one is. You can go to the other Gates over off Metcalf, I believe. No matter what gate you go to, they all taste the same. They all look the same. They all sound the same. What are you trying to say, Pastor Brian? There will be a day when we start launching churches out of here. One in L.A., one in Puerto Rico, one in Orlando. And all life gates will look and sound the same because we'll be pushing on the culture of the church. Well, I got a feeling. So I like McDonald's. Any other McDonald's likers in the house? I knew y'all love Jesus. It's like, love God, love people, love McDonald's. Right? Now I've been to McDonald's here in the United States. I've been to the McDonald's in Mexico City. I've been to the McDonald's in New Delhi, India. I've been to the McDonald's in Rio de Janeiro. All right now. And do you know that every single one of them McDonald's, they all sound the same? They all use the same wrapper. They all look the same. They all, except for in India, because they don't use real meat. That's the truth. But everything else, it's the culture. It's the way that McDonald's does it. Now you can't go into McDonald's and be like, "I want you all to change your core value system. You don't need to be excellent. Your food don't need to be so addicting. Your hamburgers don't need to taste like sugar on a bun." Because you can't change. You can't mess with their system. Their system works for them. It works in Kansas City. It works all over the world. That's their core value system. So we as a church, we got to sustain who we are at our core and not let nothing mess us up. All right, here we go. Core value number one. Boy, this three service thing is hard. Core value number one. Do you guys know second service was full, third one is full, and first one is 65% full? Yeah. Drop the mic, said no one who ever bought one. Okay, core value number one. Can we just do me a favor? Because, you know, I'm a little tired this morning. This is my third service, first time, but I got to get used to it because we're going to have six eventually. So if you could stand up to your feet, let's all read the screen together from top to bottom on the count of three. One, two, three, and go.
We are people of our word. We are what we say we are. We do what we say we're going to do.
We are people of our word. Now, before you're seated, I want you to look at two people and just tell them word. Just tell them word, 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 word. Word. So it is, you can be seated. It is important for me as your pastor to build a church where we are continually becoming people of our word. Come on now. I am raising money right now, $55,000 for you that are watching. We need $50,000 more. So if you feel so obliged, amen. And so I'm not going to take this $55,000 that we're raising for the church to come of tomorrow. I'm not going to take this $55,000 and put it in the parking lot to repay that broke up lot out there. You know why? Because I'm a man of my word. And if I tell you $55,000 is going into this build project, it will be a minimum of $55,000 that goes into this building project. Every dime that comes in does not go into the mission fund. Every dime, because I didn't say it went to the mission fund. Every dime that comes in does not go into the church savings account because I didn't say for it to go there. We had said we're raising money for the children's wing and for two bathrooms. So what are we going to get? A children's wing and right? But I've been to churches. I was preaching at this church one time and I pulled up to the parking lot and the pastor of the church had this big old semi truck parked out next to his church. And I said, "What's that for over there?" He said, "Well, we had all of our people getting money together and we bought supplies and filled it with stuff from Walmart and Target to take down to the victims of Hurricane Katrina." And this was like 3 years after Hurricane Katrina. And I said, "Well, is it empty?" And he said, "Oh, no, we just haven't got around to it." Well, what happens when leadership loses, that they lose the influence with the people when they don't seal the deal and become a person of their word. Come on, somebody. And so me as your pastor, as staff leadership in our church, as full-time staff people in the house, we are going to do whatever we can do to keep our word. Now, listen, if a tragedy comes up, if an emergency comes up, or if we can't do it because of some other reason that makes sense, we will let you know and be honest and transparent. But it does with everything within me to be a priest. preacher that keeps his word to you. So if I'm going to be a man of my word, you as members of LifeGate Church need to be people of your word. If you say you're going to sign up for a department, don't be coming like 3 weeks after you were supposed to serve and act like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. No, because we're going to be people of our word. We show up when we say we show up. We do what we say we're going to do. We serve how we say we're going to serve. We play how we say we're going to play, because we are people of our word. If we sign a pledge card, we fulfill it. People of our word. The old building that we were in before we came over here on Nolan Road, the owner of the building, Mr. John Pepper, he's an incredible guy. And he said, man, I need to talk to you, preacher. I said, what's up? He said, I had a board meeting today with one of the banks that you were trying to get money from. Because for those of you that don't know, we were like denied by like 20, 22, somewhere in that time frame. It got kind of old after we figured it all out. But like 22 banking institutions told us, no, we won't give you a dime of money to loan you money to get your building. And when you're believing God and you've got like almost 100 grand set aside in the savings account and you're believing God for a place to have your own building to sow into your future, it can get quite frustrating. And he said, hey, man, I just want you to know that I was at a meeting with this bank because I sit on the board of it, and they were talking about you. I said, oh, really? What'd they say? He said, well, it wasn't good. I said, well, what do you mean it wasn't good? He said, they had said, we don't really want to give them money because church people don't pay their bills. I said, well, that's a true statement that you just said, but not us. He said, I told them, I didn't tell second service because we ran out of time. He told them that Gallardo is like Joseph. When he moved into our property, all my other vacant properties filled up super fast and became occupied. You'll want to loan Gallardo money. He said, that church has never missed a bill. They've never been late. They're always early, and they always pay more. We are going to have integrity as a church and be a church of our word. Look at your neighbor, say word. Amen. We're people of our word. Number two, the second core value of our church. Oh, Jesus, help them, Lord. Help them, God, because I feel them. We are people of honor. We are people of honor. We honor and respect all people groups. You know what the Greek word for all is? Man, you guys are awesome. We respect and honor all people groups because God values every person on this planet, period. He even values the people you can't stand. Huh? Left wing, he values right wingers. Right wingers, he values left wingers. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Democrats, he values Republicans. I know in today's culture you don't want to hear this, but we value all people at LifeGate Church, period. 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 Well, I don't believe what they're not. Ain't nobody ask you what you believe. Just get on the bus, Gus, and roll with us, and let's go after winning people for Jesus, right? The Holy Ghost can sort it out. You ain't the Holy Ghost. You're not led to change people. That's what God's led to do. Let the Holy Ghost be the Holy Ghost and take your hands off of God's business. Woo! We live in a culture where black folk can't sit down with white folk, and Latinos can't sit down with anybody, and they're wanting to build a wall to keep some out. Don't let anybody in. That's the culture in which we live. But I'm here to tell you, there'll never be a wall built in this church. We bringing down some walls. We say bring everybody. We say anybody that don't feel, listen, if you don't feel comfortable in your church, get out of it. Do you know, I even want people in our church that don't think like us. Hello? If you have a church full of the same people, how boring would that be? Right? I say bring on the atheists to challenge some of your theology so you'd get some doctrine in you. Hello, somebody. Bring them, Jesus. Let them get in the environment of the house of God and watch them get changed, Lord. Oh, right? We got to come together. Church is the most segregated day in any other day of the United States. It's the most segregated day of the week is Sunday when people go to church. You know why? Because we gravitate toward our own kind. We want to be around people like us. We want to talk with people who are like us. We want people to get, listen, I want to be around people that don't get me. I want to be around people who can train me. Some people who can show me something brand new. It is a selfish person for you to think that you just got to be around people like you. My God, let's grow together. We honor people, period. Well, honor means to treat somebody as if they were royal or as if they were sacred, right? So the first entity, I don't even like calling him an entity, the first thing we honor around here is God himself. We honor God around here. We don't make any apologies. People come to us and say, you shout too loud, preacher. You guys, your music is too loud. Well, we're not trying to entertain you. This is not a club. This ain't no movie theater. We're trying to entertain the presence of heaven itself. We honor God above your little opinion. We honor God above your little idea. We're going to honor God, love God, worship toward God. I love God. You don't love God. We love God around here. Well, I don't believe this part of the Bible. Don't matter to me what you believe. We honor God. And if he said it, he penned it, we believe it around here. Because we honor God first. I love that right there. Secondly, we honor God's house. This is his place. He is the main man on campus. He gave this building to us. Them chairs you're sitting in, he literally gave us those chairs. This carpet, he used a donor to give us this carpet. These TVs, he used a donor to give us these TVs. These television cameras, he used a donor to give us these television cameras. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, enabled us to get what we have in this room right now. Come on, somebody. So we honor God and we're going to honor his house. How do we honor his house? By showing up early. Late is on time. It got quiet. This apple be looking pretty good. We honor God's house by picking up any trash we see on the floor. If you see trash on the floor and you walk past it with the mindset of that's what a clean team is for, you don't honor his house. Hello, somebody. We honor his house, so if we sign up to be on a department, we sign up and we show up because we honor his house. If we honor his house, we don't come in 10 minutes late acting like our church got to be at your mercy because you can't get a time clock figured out. We show up on... We honor God. We honor God. I love you, but we honor God and we honor his house first. Kingdom business is first business around here. I'm like Jesus. Zeal from my Father's house has consumed me. We honor God and we honor his house. Look at your neighbor and say, well, be convicted. Thirdly, we honor lost people. Lost people. We honor all types of people. If five strippers walk through that door, ain't nobody gonna prejudge nobody. Hello, Bueller. If an abortion doctor walked through them doors, we ain't prejudging nobody. Hello. If your sin was known before you came to Jesus, and it probably was, you were just a mess as anybody else. But the blood of Jesus saved you. And if his blood can save you, his blood can reach anybody. We honor lost people. We honor broken people. The last thing we want as a church community is for people to come through those doors and feel Dr. Dumbbell staring down his long, lean nose at them like they've got stuff that they need to get delivered. So I'm going to tell you right now, if you're high, come to church. If you're drunk, come to church. If you're addicted to sexual perversion, come on to church. If you're addicted to the needle, come to church. If you're addicted to money, please come to church. If your marriage is on the brinks, come on. If you're broken, addicted, and busted, come on. If you're hurting, come on. If you're barren, come on. All who are hungry, come on. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, Pastor, if you keep preaching like that, you're going to attract sinners to the church. Well, there you go, Sherlock. Come on, sinners. In the words of Jesus, we want to sit down and have a meal with you. Come on, on, Zacchaeus. Get about that sycamore tree. I got to come to your house and build a relationship with you. We're going to honor all people groups. Period. Well, what would you do if Muslims came through the door? I'd wrap my arms around them and say, God bless you. Glad you're here. Thank you, all three Republicans, for clapping today. I'm not clapping. He just said that. I'm a Republican. You need deliverance is what you need. See, today's culture has built up so many walls. Somebody's got to stand up and kick them dumb things down. Come on. We got to stop building walls. Listen, at our church, we tell our leadership team, you are not allowed to make political posts on Facebook. You are not allowed because you know what it does? You ain't winning an argument on social media. All you're doing is building more walls, creating more problems. I wish you would propagate the kingdom like you do politics. Jesus. I'm a preacher. I ain't a politician. I didn't come here to push the White House. I ain't here to push Washington's agenda. You know what I'm here to push? I'm here to push the kingdom mandate of God. If you want to be in politics, move to D.C., get some education, and be one. But I ain't going to sacrifice my pulpit on the altar of preaching something below me. We honor all people. Huh? All right, here's one for you. We honor God's people. Right? Churches are one of the biggest institutions that are guilty of shooting themselves in the behind. You know how they do it? By running their mouth. You know why they run their mouth? Because they don't put value on people. But around here, if you're a mouth runner, we will kick you out of this church. Because me included, and those of my amenners in the amen section, can tell you we are not perfect like you. So the day you think you have everything together is the day you will start putting your mouth on somebody. But because I honor Chop, Chop ain't perfect. We don't view everything the same, but I honor him. So I'll fight you for his honor. I am the man. Who will fight for your honor? The hero that you're dreaming of. We got to fight for each other's honor, don't we? I cannot believe I just did the Karate Kid from 1980. What's wrong with it? Good Lord. Everybody in this room struggles. Well, my struggle is gossip. Goodbye, Felicia. Come on, somebody. We all struggle with something. Some of it's very obvious what we struggle with. Others, we're very quiet about what we struggle with. But everybody in this room has the same amount of struggle somewhere. Might be insecurity. Might be inferiority. It might be undereating. It might be overeating. It might be hitting the pipe. It might be putting the pipe down. It might be taking too many pills that aren't prescribed to you. Come on, somebody. It might be brawling, and you always want to fight. Everything with you is a fight. You just want to fight. You get on Facebook, you fight with people. You go to your family reunions, you fight with people. You pick up the phone and you fight with people. You talk to your in-laws, they become outlaws overnight because you can't stop fighting with people. I don't know what you struggle with. But here at LifeGate Church, we will back you. We will help you. We will pull you out of the struggle. We will encourage you. But the day you start putting your mouth on other people, we will confront you. Because around here, we're going to honor everybody and treat people as valuable, period. Everybody say period. Come on, stand up on your feet and shout, we're a church of honor. All right, hang on. Keep standing to your feet because we're going to read this together. Another thing we honor, don't sit down because, really quick, we honor headship ministry. Come on. Pastor Greg is not G-Dog. Pastor Jillian is not Pastor JJ. Come on. Elders is not Marky Mark and Icky Irene. No, we've laid hands on them and we put them into the service in our presbytery as elders. Right? Come on, somebody. Josh and Ashley, we haven't come up with a title yet for them, but they're our student directors. Right, Pastor Margie is one of the leadership headship right now. She's our children's pastor, and when she becomes our head of intercession over during service for our prayer room, she's still going to be Pastor Margie. Why? Because that's the title God gave her by putting her in ministry. But here's what I learned about a title: you can call somebody by their title and have no respect for them in your heart. Oh, we love you, Pastor. God bless you, and you're the one running your mouth on Facebook. Right? Honor is a code by which you live by. I don't open doors just for you guys. If I'm at Walmart, because they have the operating doors, but if I walk into, like, you know, some building and somebody's behind me, I don't care who they are, what color they are, what their thought process, I don't even think, I just open up the door and serve them. You know why? I'm not trying to get a gold star on my chest of humility. No, I'm prideful about being humble. I'm opening the door for people because I value all people. I value people. And if we going to make the world better, it's up to you and me. It's up to LifeGate Church to heal the world. Come on, somebody. And make it a better place for you and for me. There are people dying. We are the world. We. How are we going to heal the world when we can't even get along at church on Sunday? How are we going to heal the world when people come in the church and aren't like us? They feel from you. Ugh. I had one lady, she came to me after church a while ago, but she no longer here, praise the Lord. And this young lady came to church, and she was dressed very inappropriately. I'm talking very inappropriately. She said, are you going to talk to her? I said, no, but I'm about to talk to you. You leave her alone. Thank God she's here. We need her here. Don't run her off. I'm about to run you off. Because we vow, everybody's like, who was it? It was Sister Nunya. Okay, let's read this together. Let's read this together. A cultural core value point number two. Here we go. And read the whole thing.
We are people of honor. We honor and respect all people groups because God values all.
Period. Amen. So because I'm a man of my word, two songs, 1 hour. It's now 1 o'clock. And we've had church for 1 hour. Because I'm a man of my word, I'm going to stop on this point. But in all honesty, in all truthfulness, you guys, we could all probably raise our hand to say, Pastor, I've been to a church where they didn't keep their word. I've been to a church. I've had people, it's such a blessing to me how my mom, who's here today, she's got to go home today. Come on, no, everybody, you got to do it louder than that. Come on. And she has done nothing the whole time she's been here except, I mean, she's not done nothing. She has said several things to me about the church. She actually helped paint down the administrative wing. Mm-hmm. But something she had said to me, it blesses my heart, because she said, number one, she said, honey, she's like, Brian, that sanctuary is too small for you guys. I said, no. 4 services. Drop. And she said to me, with tears streaming down her face, she said, I am so blessed to know that my son is in Kansas City and his church is filled with people that are so honorable. And that meant the world to me, because she didn't know what I was going to be talking about today. But part of our culture, like, I get so excited, because I was sitting there actually yesterday watching some of you all interact with each other and how you were treating each other, something we were doing. And I was just so blessed, because the honor, you guys, you all prefer the other person over yourself all the time. And I don't know if, like Lori, she stands at back door and she's got one of the biggest smiles on her face as people come through. She's blessing them, welcoming them in. And then you got her rock star of a husband who's out here in the parking lot. I mean, he's just waving and loving on everybody as they come by. Amen. And it is very true. Our culture at our church is a church that we honor all people groups, no matter where. Listen, it's none of our business. Listen, it's not. It doesn't say, and Janae will convince and convict of sin. She don't have the power to do that. I don't have the power to do that. I preach truth. Let the Holy Spirit sort it out. Because I'm not the Holy Ghost. And that's his job. So who am I to try to do what he does? All I know to do is honor people, prefer somebody over myself. That whole golf cart thing out there, I know people laugh at me all the time because it is kind of funny. I mean, how many pastors do you know ride a golf cart around our church? And Pastor Parsi's got like a Rolls Royce golf cart. Like they decked it out like a Rolls Royce with like a kit on it. It's pretty funny. But the reason why we started doing that, because my heart was concerned, because we do have elderly people in the church, people who are suffering different elements. And it is a concern of mine that people, that's a long walk from the car all the way to the front door, right? And so somebody said to me, why don't you let somebody else do it, Pastor? And I was like, really? Because I kind of want to do it. I want to serve people that way because I value you. And we value each other. And we value this house. Amen. Do you believe that to be true? Can we just put our hands together and thank God for this kind of a church? I want to read these things to you really quick, and I am done with that point. You will only receive in ministry from a leader to which the measure of honor you put upon that person. So in the kingdom, if you want to be elevated to the next season, to the next level, that comes two ways. Number one, the currency of the kingdom is relationships. That's how it flows. Secondly, the elevator of the kingdom is honor. If you want to go up in the kingdom, you honor. I have the privilege to preach all over this beautiful nation of America that I believe is not doomed, by the way. I believe God's gonna move in this nation. And I said a mouthful today, and I don't apologize because it's what I truly believe at my core value of a person. But I have the honor to step on huge platforms. In January, I'll be stepping on one of the largest platforms of my life in Texas. There'll be thousands of people there. I'll be one of the night speakers. And I always think, God, how did I get here? And something he's laid on my heart this week as I was asking him, how did I get to this point of these incredible men of God like Pastor Parsley and Pastor Hart and Jonathan Miller and Brandon Holt and Tony Suarez and these great, incredible Pastor Sam Rodriguez. How did I get to the point where these guys like me? One word, honor. I'm not going to these platforms just because I'm a good preacher. I'm going to these platforms because I've honored those who have paid the price before me. I've never called Pastor Parsi, oh, Roddy Rod. What up, Rod, my buddy? He's not my buddy. He's a leader by which speaks from God to me. I honor that he's allowed me into his area, his life. I don't ever call Pastor, let me Pastor, we're close. I mean, we're close, really close. I don't ever call him Jim Dog, Jimmy Jam, Flying J. Jimmy John, right? You know why? Because I honor him. I feel like the heavens would open and lightning would come down, right? So as a culture of LifeGate Church, whoever we put in this pulpit to preach to you, push on them like you push on me. Drain them dry and pull on their anointing like you guys are. You guys are amazing at that, by the way. It's the easiest church to preach in. Pastor Josh Palmer, who has a great church, told me, he goes, man, I wish my church was like that. I was like, not too bad. We are building a church of honor. And I just want to thank you guys. These cultural points, as we read them, a lot of times people say, oh, I get why you do that now. Thank you for helping us to sustain these core values. Amen.